Michelle got here this morning. There was no sound men. Half the musicians weren't here. She had to start phoning around. Grant, thanks for driving down for the third time, getting through all the roadblocks and traffic and runners. And yeah, maybe next year we'll just have a Sunday afternoon service. But I think next year it'll be different. But anyway, it's good to... I've sensed the presence of God singing here this morning. While we were worshiping, I just felt like the Father's so pleased with His children that He's just waiting for them to come to the realization of how pleased He is with you. World-changing pleasure. Come on, say that. World-changing pleasure is on my life. It's on my life. Amen. So I just want to welcome you. We're going to take up the offering. And if you're visiting with us, anybody, I mean, it's a big enough deal. Just people from this church get you. I'll be quite surprised if any visitors, unless they got lost. They were running towards Pietermaritzburg and ended up in here. And also to mention, as you came in this morning, you will have noticed there was a table set with groceries, and those groceries have been purchased, but then as we purchase items for 10 Rand, that 10 Rand goes towards resupplying God's cupboard, and then those goods that are purchased are packed and given to people who are in need. So that is our alms ministry. That's our way we put together food parcels in the church for those who are in need. So thanks for supporting that. And then as we take up our offering here this morning, God bless you. Thanks, guys, as we do that. Everyone got a Bible? I think we get quite used to the scriptures coming up on the board. But I do want to ask you to open your Bible this morning. We are church for the book, of the book, by the book. We believe the Holy Spirit guided and inspired people to write down what would later become recognized by the church as Holy Scripture, and that Scripture would become the foundation and formation of much of what we do as believers and as church for the sake of the world. And I've been studying through the book of Acts, the first encounters of this group called the church. And I want to look at that picture, and then I want to look at how we're doing church. Scripture, or can you? Morning, I just and I went. Oh, man, that's this. Of moving from a law-based relationship, feelings of do's and don'ts, into the freedom of a living, dynamic relationship in the Holy Spirit. And there was no one better crafted for this job than the Apostle Paul. And that's why we love the teachings that God used him to give through his epistles, because they clarify for us the difference between law-based religion and the gospel of grace. And after unpacking a whole lot of these things in Galatians chapter 1, chapter 2, chapter 3, in chapter 4 he gives a little illustration. And this is how he says it. He's illustrating what he's just said about law and grace and all those kind of things. Verse 1, what I'm saying is that as long as an heir is underage, he is no different from a slave, although he owns the whole estate. The heir is subject to guardians and trustees until the time set by his father. So also, when we were underage, we were in slavery under the elemental spiritual forces of the world. But when the set time had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law, that we might receive adoption to sonship. Because you are sons, God sent the Spirit of His Son into your heart, whereby you cry, Abba, Father. Verse 7, so you are no longer slaves, but God's child. And since you are His child, God has made you heirs. So he's using an illustration saying, when a kid is underage and a kid is a kid, he gets treated differently to when he becomes of age and is maturing. Now that's true of your life and of my life. There was a time we were underage and we were kids. And our parents had to say, touch that, naughty corner. Naughty corner, look at wall, no talk to you for 20 minutes. And as little kids, we didn't understand all the psychology to that, but hey, it wasn't nice to be alone. I'm talking to those who didn't get a clap on the ear, okay? Those who lived after the clap on the ear. But that's the way you treat a child. Now, it would be like quite weird if we're sitting at the table and my 22-year-old son reaches across and takes a handful of sugar and I say, naughty boy, sit, naughty corner, sit, stare, wall. For 20 minutes, no one's talking to you. That would be weird. It'd be strange. You would probably want to dislocate from that kind of family leading the church, you know. We would treat him differently because he's grown up, he's of age. Now, Paul is using that example to say, there was a time when we were under the basic elements of law-based relationship. But there came a time when we came into adoption and our Christian lives changed when we understood that Father's not relating to us on a naughty boy sit in the corner mentality, but he's relating to us on the basis of a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. He's no longer relating to us on the basis of laws and rules operating system, but he's relating to us on the basis of love and honor operating system. And this is the central message of Paul through the New Testament writings, is he has to help them understand the difference moving from what they were used to in their old religious mindset into all that God actually had them. And you know what? The church hasn't changed that much. Even if you didn't come out of a Judaistic background religion, we still think of God often in terms of punishment, reward, sit in the naughty corner mentality. And all that the teaching of grace is doing is liberating and freeing us. And I think it's doing that. But you know what applies to you individually also applies to us corporately. That the way the church functions is not under an Old Testament priesthood, an Old Testament system, but it operates under a completely new operating system. He gave gifts to bring the church to maturity so we won't be knocked around with every new wind of doctrine. And there are leaders and there are helps and there are giftings. But the church, the way we relate to one another, is no longer based on naughty corner, but it's based on love and respect. Because the law system had to have a very strong, if you don't do this, God will punish you like this, attached to it. Because that's the only way law can operate. Are you tracking with me? The only way law can operate is if there are consequences of punishment or reward. But we see Jesus comes along and he gives a new commandment in John 13, verse 34. He spells this out and he says, a new commandment I give unto you that you love one another. You should know that verse pretty well. Come on, but it's a good one to see again. A new commandment I give unto you that you love. You see, it's a new commandment. So it's still a commandment, but it's a commandment that moves away from all the old operating system. Because it's a new commandment. It's a commandment that's going to supersede and overtake everything that came before it. It's a new one. I'm giving you a new commandment. And if you get this one right, you don't have to worry about the other stuff because that'll take care of itself. The cannibal person doesn't have to have a law to tell him it's not nice to chew on your neighbor's arm. He'll know what that feels like. And if you can just get this love others as I've loved you, then he doesn't need a law telling him not to chew on his neighbor's arm. And every other area of our life comes under this new law of love. Here's another one in Romans chapter 12, verse 10. I know these are on the slide, but they were after those other pictures, Graham. So I'm just going to try not to get distracted. I mean, I love technology, but I don't know, for some reason. Oh, there we go. Romans chapter 10. Okay, so that was John 13, a new commandment. And then Romans 12, 10 says, be devoted to one another in brotherly love. This is the new commandment, that you devoted to one another in this new kind of love that Jesus gave, the new commandment, okay? Honor one another above yourselves. That's all it really means. You know what it means to honor someone above yourself? It just means you put others' needs in front. You put them one step ahead. It's just honoring others, loving others. And this is the dynamics of how this church was supposed to operate, out of a place of loving and honor. And this was the message for the early church, and it's still the message today, is that when people come, for example, thanks Graham, and they ask, are we allowed to drive our motorbikes into the church on a Sunday morning? Or if they ask, are we allowed to come in our speedos to church on a Sunday morning with our surfboard? Or if people ask, are we allowed to bring our Sunday lunch and have a picnic during Sunday mornings? What we don't want to do is start putting up signs all over the church that say, no picnics, please. No motorbikes, please. No speedos, please. No topless waiters, please. The last thing we want to do is start putting signs all over the church. Because often when people come with questions of, are we allowed to, or can we, or should we, when they're looking for a yes, no answer, it's very easy to just say, okay, well, no parking across the entrance where nobody can walk in. No bringing 32-year-olds to children's church. Okay, no. It's easy to start putting up signs to answer the yes and no, but it's much better if you start to teach people, is that showing love if you do that? Is that honoring if you ride your Harley Davidson through here on a Sunday morning? And Chris would be delighted to hear that. Is it honoring? Because when we have to think for ourselves, instead of going and asking for a yes, no answer, when we have to think for ourselves, is this showing love? Is this the most honoring thing to do? Then we have to think for ourselves. And we don't have to come up with laws and rules of yes and no and putting up signs. I mean, okay, at our house, we've got a tenant staying in a little flat. He's got a reserved parking area. Now, I haven't had to put up a sign there, tenant only parking, no parking, skull and crossbones, fire, lightning, you know. I've just had to say, let's be honoring to the guy. It's his parking. Let's stay out of it. Now, in the church, we've got to move away from you can do this and you can't do that and you must do this. And you. I mean, I'm talking, obviously, there are some absolutes in the Bible where it says murder, no. That's not something to go and pray about to find out. We know that that's not the most loving thing to do. We know that's not honoring someone to take their life. So the absolutes, they speak for themselves. That's why Jesus had to say, I'm giving you a new commandment. It's not a commandment that now, well, you know, law 1972, Act 15, Section 8 says, da, 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 da. He says, I want to move away from that into moving into, is this showing love to the people that I'm in fellowship with? Is this honoring to the people I'm in fellowship with? Amen? Laws don't help anyway. As soon as you put up a sign, someone's going to want to come and break it. Can I show you a picture? Graham, have you got those? I'm walking down at the beachfront the other day, other morning, and they've got the sign up on North Beach. And it says there, Metro Police, no bottles, chai ibogela, no alcohol, utchwala, by order, city management. Amen. Did everybody read that? Okay, next picture, please. Oh, wonderful. All right. Now, I kid you, this is like 20 meters away. So I'm walking down. I see the sign. I walk down and I see this. I think, this is hysterical. I've got to take a photo of this. I mean, this is just like, don't take cookies out of the cookie jar, you know. Rules and regulations didn't change human behavior. Are you in agreement with me? Rules and regulations don't change human behavior. But if we were people that honored one another and honored those coming after us and walked loving towards each other, next picture, Graham, that's what it would look like. And I kid you not, this was just like 100 meters away. So you got the sign on the one side. I thought this is a great picture of, I mean, they were there having a party the night before and they just couldn't even read the blurred six signs that were coming in and out of focus. But it was just such a great picture for me of, thanks, Graham. When we want to have a community based on, are we allowed to do this? What about that? Should we park here? Should we park there? The moment we start running our community like that, we're looking for yes, no answers instead of actually growing up. And when we were kids, we needed to be told, take a handful of sugar, you sit in the naughty corner. But as a 22-year-old, we got to say, was that an honoring thing to do, sitting at the table? Were you showing love in that situation? That's a much better thinking strategy. Who agrees? Amen? I mean, our kids, when they were writing exams and that, we would keep the sound down in the house because children need a little bit of, although I don't know if that's a great example because kids have headphones on with blaring music when they study. I don't get it. But yeah, okay, when we were kids, okay, when you were kids. If we know someone's needing to study or someone's doing something, someone's not well in the house, and we turn down the music, we're not doing it because we've had to put a label up on the fridge. No music after 10 o'clock. That's what you do when you go to boarding houses. When you go to, what do they call boarding schools? They have to run by signs because that's the only way they get response. But in an honoring community, you wouldn't need those kind of signs. So when we were children, we needed to be told do and don't. But when we start growing up, we've got to start thinking for ourselves, am I devoted to my brothers out of love? And if so, am I honoring others above myself? Isn't that beautiful? That's the glue of the church. That solves a whole lot of problems right there. I mean, James and I last year or year before had some people come and approach us who were of a gay relationship persuasion. And that's become very debatable and it's become a topic of debate in a lot of churches who are opening up to gay people into leadership and into being pastors and all kinds. And we're just not there. We still see in the scripture that God made them male and female and God kind of, okay, so without going into the theology of it, we just don't, or the biology of it, we just don't get it, okay? We don't see that that's God's best plan. And in years past, we tended to be very, probably judgmental and very exclusive to people who saw that differently. So what's got to change here now? So these people come and speak to us. The last thing we want to do is start putting up signs on the building. gays, sit here, please. Straight, sit here. Males, not sure. Female, not. The last thing we want to do is become institutional and begin partitioning. We've got to operate now at a much higher law, and we've got to operate at what does it mean to be devoted in love, and what does it mean by honoring others above ourselves? So we spoke. We said, okay, first of all, our theology as we understand it doesn't allow for this as an ongoing lifestyle, and therefore we cannot, with all good conscience, bring you into a place of active membership, i.e. leadership, running children's church, small groups, those things. However, we believe that God loves you as much as he loved us, and by coming into this place to worship, we believe God can speak to you. You're not going to bring a curse in the house like we used to think, remember, in the old religious days. Oh, there's sin in the house. That's why God can't move in this place. I mean, if God couldn't move because there was a sin in the house, then God's not God. You know? And anyway, how did he manage to move in your life? And still keep moving in our life? You know, it's like, I know I'm the righteousness of Christ, but I know I do some stupid things. And if God's moving or not moving was determined by what I do and do not do, I'd be more schizophrenic, you know. I say more because subject to interpretation. So, we got to be, on the one hand, inviting to people, whether they're drug addicts, whether they are in affairs, whether they on drugs, whether they in homosexual relationships, we got to say, come, our arms are wide open, more the merrier. We want you to come and be in a place where the Holy Spirit can speak to you. But there is a line we have to draw. Now, we want to honor you this way by not treating you any different, not treating you as a second-rate citizen. So in our interaction, we'll treat you with honor and dignity and respect. But please return the favor and behave with honor and respect. And I don't want to see you hanging on each other in a meeting. And if you feel you have to, then we're going to make that boundary extend past these brick walls. And you'll have to hold hands and hug outside, and further away maybe the better. Because we got a whole lot of people that we're trying to disciple and love and honor, who will be appalled and will be stumbled and shipwrecked and completely confused by this kind of behavior. So you need to show honor and respect and love to us by keeping your freedom to yourself. In other words, Steve, is it okay to smoke? You got the right to smoke if you want to, but your right to smoke ends at my nose. So will you please just keep a little bit of distance between us? Because I don't want your smoke going up my nostrils. And now, the law's on my side as well. So that's wonderful. You can go to movies and sit on airplanes without the person smoking next to you. But can you see, I want to treat that person with honor and respect and not as a second-class citizen. I don't want to get on a pompous, high-horse attitude and think, well, you know, God can't bless you because of that foul chimney that's growing out of your head with all that smoke drifting off. You know, I know it's not going to keep you out of hell, but you sure smell like hell right now, and I'm going to be judgmental and arrogant towards you. No, no, I'm going to guard my heart, because that's not the most loving and honoring way to relate to you. But will you return the favor and be honoring and loving back to me by smoking out of my space? You with me? Hey, come on, church. This is much better than putting up signs, don't smoke here, do smoke, don't, you know, no topless waiters there, no motorbikes driving in there, no guys sitting with guns. That, I mean, it's much better. Am I allowed to bring a firearm to church, Pastor? I don't know. Are you? You know? I don't know. You got to ask yourself, is it love? If it's not unloving and it's not dishonoring, then maybe it's okay for you. It's not an absolute in the Bible, because then it would be unloving and dishonoring. So those gray areas where there's not clear-cut biblical mandate, you got to figure that out for yourself, and you got to say, if this is not unloving, if this is not disloving or dishonoring, then instead of going and getting a yes answer or a no answer, you with me? I mean, it still boils down to a yes or no, but now it's not someone giving it and placarding it. It's your maturity. When you were a kid, you were treated like a kid, but when you grow up and become mature, you got to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. I mean, I was very enthusiastic when I just got saved. I know you've heard the story. I apologize for the 10th time. Just laugh at the right moment and no one will know. But arriving at my first gospel outreach crusade with a Lion Lager t-shirt on. I mean, big glass bubbling over. I love Lion Lager. My Bible, I'm at my first outreach. I was saved a few weeks. There I arrived at the church, all excited to go knock on doors and share this wonderful message that had turned my life the right side up. And a hush came into the church as I walked in. And I was told, that's wrong. Someone went out and bought a t-shirt and came back and said, that's right. And I quickly learned that some things are wrong and some things are right. But I didn't have time to figure out really what was right and wrong. So from there on, I had to rely on other people to show me what was right and what was wrong. Instead of figuring out, going and knocking on someone's door with the Bible under one arm and a beer bubbling over my t-shirt, as much as some of you love your beer, I might be knocking on the door of an ex-alcoholic or a current alcoholic, and I'm not doing him much good. He doesn't want my Bible. He wants a beer. Come on now. So is this the most honoring thing to do? Is this the most loving thing to do? You see, when I come into this community, the church that has the potential to change the world, I come with a wonderful message. It's a message of the goodness and accomplished work of Jesus Christ. I come with a better covenant based on better promises. I don't have to slip into religion mindset of punishment, reward, do this or God will have to beat you up, naughty corner for you. I don't have to resort to all that terminology because I can just come with a Jesus who is a Savior, who accomplished everything, who finished it, who I come with good news. I come with an anointing of the Spirit to tell people about that. Then they get saved into a community and they learn that it's healthy to be devoted to the apostles' doctrine. It's healthy for them. It's good for them to be devoted to fellowship. It's healthy. It's good for them to be devoted to prayer and to the fellowship and to the breaking of bread. And very soon, if I'm not careful, those things can become placarded in their lives, can become laws and commandments and rules. And the rest of the New Testament begins unfolding to this early community how to live, how to experience God as a community, not with a mixture of law and rules, but with loving as Jesus loved and honoring others above ourselves. And this is what we want to unpack and look at for the next few weeks because it borders on all kinds of conversations in our Christian lives, in our Christian disciplines. But this is important. And you know why? Thanks for asking. It's because if the world's going to change, it's because the kingdom of God is taking root. And the kingdom of God is going to take root when it goes well with the church. And it's not going to go well with the church when we mix up the gospel, when we don't use our gifts that he's given us, when our lives are cluttered with so many things, we haven't got time for any important thing because we're running around after the urgent thing. And it's not going to go well in the church when we have babies and when we are babies who need do and don't answers. Yes and no replies. But we have to learn what the Word of God has for us to grow into maturity. And can you say amen? I didn't get to nearly anything other than what I've said. I had another, I think, 10 passages going to come up. We got through 2, and I had another 10. So consider yourself having got off very lightly this morning. Because I didn't live through these all week, you know. It's easy for you to sit for half an hour, 40 minutes, and hear a message. Another thing, having to live in that message for the whole week, in and out of meetings, in and out of other activities, where God is cutting and refining and pruning. But I believe as we go to the Word of God, as we go to Scripture, and we look from this foundation that I set this morning, and we look practically how this works out in areas of our life, I believe it's going to go well with the church. It's going to go well in our interpersonal relationships. We're going to stop judging one another. We're going to stop putting offenses in each other's way. We're going to understand how to relate to one another, and leadership, and all other aspects of our Christian life. Because, in parting, let me ask you this question. Is it okay to have expectations of one another? Is that going back to law and rules? It can be. But if we go back to family, we can expect certain things. And we're going to look at some of those things in the light of a better covenant. Not in the light of punishment and reward, religious paradigms. We're going to speak about those things in the light of an honoring, loving community who want it to go well in their midst so they can see a world being changed for God. Can you say amen? Let's stand up together. Lord, we thank you this morning that when it goes well in the church, your kingdom will advance. And we want to see this world changed. We want to see the community turned right side up. So we pray that this church will be a lighthouse, that this church will be a beacon of hope to the world around us. I pray, Lord, over the next few weeks as we continue unpacking and understanding what this means, that you'll cause our togetherness to become richer and richer so that the world may know we have a Savior who loves them, and his name is Jesus. Amazing grace. Amazing grace. I pray you'll be soaked today, church, in amazing grace. I pray as you leave this place and get on these busy roads, you'll be soaked in amazing grace. I pray as you wake up tomorrow morning and have to go about your daily activities, cast your cares upon Jesus because he cares for you, that you'll be soaked in amazing grace. I pray that God will bless you and prosper you and make all your dreams come true. I pray that he will open doors that no man can shut. I pray that he will give you favor with people who have been difficult and obstinate and unbending. I pray that he will give you breakthrough in areas of your life where you've just been hitting one hurdle after the next mountain, the next wall. I pray that God will just open doors around you, that the opportunities will increase and exceed even your ability to walk through all those doors. I pray that he will bring a tenderness to your spirit towards him so that you will experience Holy Spirit walking with you every moment of every day. That you will hear him showing you and saying, go here, go there. You'll hear that voice behind you leading you in every decision you've got to make. I pray that multiplied over your life this morning. And all God's people said, amen and amen. Have a wonderful week.